Good morning. Good morning. This is on, right? You can hear? All right. The October 23rd, 2024 meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding an in-person meeting with the virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating, today's agenda is broken down into the following items. Approval of the agenda, committee reports, action item to be presented by staff, other business, status report on current projects activities, information report, other public comments, notes by the chairman, adjournment. For each agenda action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment section, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now be called to order. First on is the approval of the agenda. You may have an action item.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I move for the approval of the August 15, 2024 core MPO board meeting minutes and the agenda as written. Palumbo.
Properly motion is second that the approval of the agenda. Are you ready for the questions? Any questions? All right, let us begin by voting. But far to my right, please identify yourself for record.
Means, yes.
Walker, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Milder, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes. Proctor, yes.
Brian, yes.
Thank you.
Got it? All right, Chairman, yes. All right, let us move on now to next. The second item was committee report, the verbal reports.
Good morning. Morning. The Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee met this month and endorsed all action items. Additionally, the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee also met this month and endorsed all action items.
All right.
The Technical Coordinating Committee also met on October 17th and endorsed all action items.
Okay. Any questions from? All right, let's move to the action items. First, the approval of the August 15, 2024 core MPO board meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval of the meeting minutes. Palumbo.
Second, yes. Williams.
From proper motion and second. That the minutes from the August 15th meeting will be approved. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far left. Please signify who you are.
West, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callahan, yes.
Means, yes.
Chairman, yes. All right. Let's go on to the calendar for 2025.
Okay. We developed the core MPO board and the TCC meeting agendas for the October meetings because BPAC and TPAC are still trying to make the final decisions about their meeting dates. So this is the 2025 meeting calendar for the core MPO board. As you can see, normally it's on the fourth Wednesday of every other month, except in December, because we have to move the meeting ahead of the holiday schedule. So we also have cutoff dates. So 21 days ahead of the Corn Field Board meeting, we would cut off the agenda submittals so that we can have enough time to process, especially when we have TIP amendments or MTP amendments, which require 15-day public comment period. So that's the cutoff date. If you're okay with this meeting dates, and we can just send this to you or send it to your secretaries or executive assistants so they can put them on your calendars.
All right. Any questions from anyone about the calendar for 2025? We could move for adoption of it.
Johnson, so moved.
Palumbo, second.
Proper motion and second that the calendar for 2025 be adopted. Any questions? Please signify your vote, starting to my far right.
Means yes.
Callahan, yes.
Walker, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Proctor, yes.
West, yes.
And Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item three, I'll be giving the presentation for the participation plan update. So the Core MPO participation plan is a plan that describes the strategies and techniques that the Core MPO uses to inform and engage the public in transportation planning issues. The last update of this document was 2021, and it has to be updated on the three-year update cycle, so now we're updating it again in 2024. So in terms of some of the specific updates within this plan of note, I'll just start page 9. We added information about the 2020 census and the boundary update, which was not present in the previous plan because the boundary update had not been completed yet. We also added the new Core MPO boundary, which also needed updating compared to the previous plan. Additionally, we added new legislation, such as the bipartisan infrastructure law, which was not present in a previous plan. And we also added, a main contact for the participation plan. So someone from the public, or just anyone in general has any questions or comments about the Core MPO, they can direct them to me. So I added, my contact information there. Additionally, we updated the Core MPO board and advisory committees, and that was to add the transportation equity and public involvement advisory committees and also the bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee, which was not present in the previous plan. In terms of our goals and objectives, we didn't tweak these too much. The main update was replacing CAC with TPAC, and that's because CAC no longer exists. It was consolidated into TPAC. We also added our measures of effectiveness. So we updated it with current numbers in terms of meetings and the number of meetings that take place in an environmental justice location. And then also attendance as well. Additionally, we added qualitative information on public involvement in terms of measures of effectiveness, just because we wanted to have quantitative and qualitative information, because they're both good to have because they both tell you kind of different things. So for example, we added a section that described how when we went out into the community to describe the long-range transportation plan, in addition to having to describe that, we also had to describe ourselves because most people don't really know what an MPO is and don't know what the Core MPO is. And so we added that as a takeaway that when we go into these communities for the next round of public outreach and the different things that we do in the community, we have to make sure that we introduce ourselves in addition to introducing some of what we're doing. Moving along, we also added resilience information to the participation plan, which was not present in the previous participation plan. We also added a section in terms of environmental justice within our public outreach, and then we also added information about if events are canceled or any types of short notice meetings, how we address that with the public and how we address that with the boards and committees in terms of how we communicate when those short notice meetings will happen or when a meeting is canceled, what happens next. Additionally, we also updated the STIP process, which I believe is Appendix E or later. So the short-term STIP, some of the information was updated, and so we ensured that we included some of those updates into this plan as well. And lastly, we also archived a couple of our chapters, and then we also added additional information about the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. So those are the last of the updates that I have for the participation plan. In terms of the public comment period, we have not received comment from the public on this plan, but we have received comment from federal government, and we made sure to address those comments. This was advertised as a public hearing, so we will have to have a public hearing just to give the public another chance to give their input on this plan. And that's the end of this presentation.
All right, any questions from a board member? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to send kudos to our team for hearing us loud and clear about the need for these new committees, particularly the Transportation Equity and Bike Pedestrian Advisory Committees, really address some of our most pressing mobility and transportation challenges out there. So it's going to be exciting as these new committees are formed, get underway, to see what they're going to shed light on for us. This is a powerful governing body with many dollars that flow through it. So and the challenges do not end at any of our jurisdictional boundaries. So for us to work together on these, it's very encouraging to see, and kudos to you and the team.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. And now it's open. I think we have to open the public hearing to receive final public comment, and then if there is none, then we can move on to adoption.
Part of the participation plan?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wasn't in my notes, I didn't know. All right, may I have a motion to open public hearing on the participation
Garrett
plan?
Garrett, move to open the public hearing.
Johnson, second.
Probably motion and second that we open the public hearing. Ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far left.
West, yes.
Proctor, yes. Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Maines, yes.
All right. Public hearing is now open. Is there any member of the public who is online that raised a hand for the participation plan?
No, sir.
Okay. Anyone in the audience who would love to speak on this participation plan? Hearing none, may I have a motion to close?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Chair.
Probably motion and second that we close the public hearing. Ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far left.
West, yes.
Proctor, yes. Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Maines, yes.
All right, and the chairman. Okay, let me ask this though now. How soon will we get the dates for the different municipalities to do public hearing? I noticed on there you had a list of places that you plan to hold public hearings.
Oh, so
you said you didn't get any participation before?
Yeah, we didn't receive public comment on this plan during the 45-day public comment period.
So we're going to reopen that? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no.
Did I hear that wrong?
Oh, no. The period is closed. So
closed now.
But except for this moment during the public
have we just finished?
Hearing. Yeah, the public hearing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. All right. I just noticed you had those lists of different places in different jurisdictions.
Yeah, that's for just the different plans in general. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else along those lines? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Let us move right along. Title VI plan update.
I will be giving that. So we need to move to adopt the participation plan update. Sorry.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move to adopt the participation plan. Palumbo.
Jarrett, second.
Proper motion and second that we adopt the participation plan. Are you ready for the question? Hearing none, let us go to my far right. Cast your votes.
Means, yes.
Callahan, yes. Walker, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Proctor, yes.
West, yes.
Resolution so adopted. Okay, now let's go to number four.
I'll be giving the presentation on that as well. Our Title VI plan is the core MPO's non-discrimination plan, and it's also a federally required plan like the participation plan is. It is updated every 3 years. The previous update was in 2021, and so now we are updating it again in 2024. So this is a plan in terms of having a complaint procedure and also a plan in terms of engaging with people that speak different languages, for example. So just going through some of the updates associated with this plan, one of the major ones is that the format is updated. So this format is majorly different from the previous format of the Title VI plan, and that was due to GDOT giving MPOs a template. And then we just filled in a template with the correct information. Additionally, we have our notices to the public, and they've all been translated. So we have it in English, Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. Additionally, we have our complaint forms all translated into those languages discussed before. We've also outlined some of the strategies that we've involved in terms of getting inclusive and equitable public outreach, such as the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee and working with CGIC and LIFE, for example. We also listed out some of the public outreach that we have done since the previous Title VI plan update, and a lot of that was from the 2050 MTP, so we made sure to include that in here. Additionally, we updated our language information. So this is something that's required by the Title VI plan to pay attention to populations where the population may not speak English very well. And we want to ensure that we are serving our safe harbor languages. And so a safe harbor language is essentially a non-English language group that is spoken by a significant number of the population. And so once you hit the threshold of about 1,000 people or 5% of the population, that's when you start providing translated materials to them. So our safe harbor languages within the core MPO area is Spanish and Vietnamese. And we also include Chinese because it's very, very close to that 1,000 person threshold. But we also keep track of all language groups in the area and the number of people who don't speak English very well. Additionally, we have our language assistance plan as well, which includes the vital documents that we will ensure that we translate into our safe harbor languages. And then we also have a plan in terms of the training that staff will do in order to be equitable and to be following Title VI law. We also have our log of encounters with people that may not speak English very well. We haven't really had those in person, but we did have our survey for the 2050 MTP translated into three languages, and people did take it in Chinese and in Spanish. We also have our minority representation table, and that is showing the racial and ethnicity percentage breakdown of people on each board and committee. And so that includes Core MPO Board, TCC, ACAT, CAC, which ACAT and CAC are no longer live committees. They've been consolidated into the Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee. But we also have it for BPAC and TPAC. And then we also created a table that shows the percentage of representation of the board members on each board and committee within the Core MPO. And then we also wrote our efforts to encourage minority participation on these boards and committees. So that was the last of the major updates associated with this plan. This one is also a plan that we advertised for a public hearing to hear people's thoughts on it. So after this presentation, then we will open for a public hearing. But are there any questions?
Any questions from a board member? Any questions from any board member? Let me ask the one that I was asked. Okay. Last Tuesday, when I was in DC representing us, I was asked what since the Title VI plan was done before the influx, right? Have we looked at the Koreans?
So that is something. Yes. So that is something that we are paying attention to, and we are going to pay attention to the American Community Survey to see when they cross over that 1,000 person threshold. We did receive the advice from the Georgia Department of Transportation to hold off on putting them into this, them into our translated vital documents until it's very clear and we're very sure that they've crossed that threshold. But that is something that we are paying attention to.
All right. Communicate that with, having GDOT communicate that with the federal transportation people. 'Cause that's where the question came from. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It came from those on the Fed level. And I know this goes that to them. So communicate that to GDOT. And, those of you in Bryan County, Effingham County, and Chatham County, especially on the west side of Chatham County, pay attention. Pooler, Bloomingdale, Port Wentworth. Pay attention to the influx that you have of Koreans coming in there so that you can keep them abreast, all right, because you deal with them every day, elected officials, and staff here may not, all right? So they don't know they're there. And we don't want to get caught short because we didn't get those numbers correct either, because there is resources in getting those numbers correct. And that's my only point for making that up, all right? That was their point for telling me about it last Tuesday. Okay?
Okay, we'll make sure we do that.
All right. We good?
Mm-hmm.
Now we get ready to open a public hearing?
Yes.
May I have a motion, please?
So moved, Mr. Chairman. Palumbo.
Second, Walker.
Proper motion and second that we open the public hearing. You ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far right.
Means yes.
Callanan, yes.
Walker, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Miller, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Proctor, yes.
West, yes.
All right, we declare that the public hearing is open. Is there any member of the audience who would like to speak on this issue? Any member? Any member? Is there anyone online? No raised hands?
No.
All right, let me have a motion to close.
Mr. Chairman, I move to close the hearing. Palumbo.
Second, Milton.
Properly motion and second. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting with my far left.
West, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Means, yes.
All right. Okay. Moving right along.
And now we move to entertaining.
A motion to adopt it.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman.
Resolution.
Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt the resolution. Palumbo.
Williams, second.
Proper motion and second. Are you ready for the question? Please cast your vote starting to my far right.
Means, yes.
Go ahead.
Callanan, yes.
Walker, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes. Proctor, yes.
West, yes.
All right. So adopted.
Thank you.
Good morning. So, Chairman, we're moving on to the next agenda item.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We are going to submit several requests to Georgia Department of Transportation for roadway functional classification update. Remember at last meeting, we told you that all of the municipalities, if you wish to upclassify some roadways, submit all the requests to us by the end of September. And we did receive some requests. So basically, the functional classification is the Federal Highway Administration. They divided all our roadways into different systems. So you have interstates, I-95, I-16, I-516. You have expressways. So you have like Truman Parkway. So limited access roadways. And you have a principal arterials like Abercorn or State Route 204. And you have minor arterials like White Bluff Road. And you have collectors, major collectors, minor collectors, and the local roadways. So normally they all carry different traffic. So the higher functional classification carries longer distance travels. Collectors probably just collect the trips from the local roads and then channels that traffic into the arterials. So that's how they define the functional classification. And then they also have, like different roadway designs. So you have like four lanes, six lanes, local roads, normally one lane or two lanes. But most important to us, I would say that we want to make sure, the collectors above are eligible for federal dollars. So every 10 years, the census releases the urban area or urbanized area. And then the DOTs and work with the MPOs, work with local jurisdictions, update that urban area to an adjusted urban area. We actually adjusted our Savannah urban area based on the 2020 census. And then that adjusted urban area has been adopted. And now next step is to up-classify or reclassify some of the roadways because of a lot of developments, like the chairman mentioned, a lot of developments in Effingham County, Bryan County, South and the West, Chatham County. So some of the roadways that used to be local roads are no longer serving as local purposes. So, for example, Benton Boulevard is one of those. So the problem with us is whenever we try to do, okay, we say City of Savannah or Pooler or Portman, they want to join, they want to widen Benton Boulevard. And then we found out it's a local road, so it's not eligible for federal dollars. So what we are trying to do is to basically we identify which are the local roads, but they are no longer serving the local road purposes. So basically you carry more traffic, like Benton Boulevard actually carries more than 10,000 traffic a day. So that doesn't make any sense anymore. So we actually worked with the staff members, and then we collected these are the roadways that we received the reclassification requests. One is Benton Boulevard. So Benton Boulevard crosses from north to south, Port Wentworth, Savannah, and the Pooler. So currently it's a local road and it's not eligible for federal dollars. So we want to up-classify it to a higher classification. We decided that a minor arterial is more appropriate because State Route 30 is a minor arterial. And then Jimmy DeLoach is a major arterial. It crosses Jimmy DeLoach, and then Pooler Parkway is a minor arterial. So we decided this one is a minor arterial. And City of Savannah also requested to up-classify Highlands Boulevard. Basically, it's a collector. So collects the traffic from the local trips from the Highlands subdivision and then channels that into Benton Boulevard. So it's a collector. So we request Highlands Boulevard to be up-classified to a major collector. Thunderbolt sent three requests, Roland Avenue, Shell Road, and Sunset Boulevard. Currently, actually, all three roadways crosses both Savannah and a Thunderbolt. And so some of those, like Roland, actually serves as an alternative route to US 80. Actually, people cut off this roadway because they try to avoid the Victory Drive. And also, they both connect the Skidway Island, Skidway Island Road, and at Wadley, that is connected to the Savannah State University, which has like 3,000 students. So we would request to up-classify these three roadways into minor collector. So they are no longer serving the local trips purposes. And then another one is Pine Meadow Drive. And I will show you the location later. So this is the request that was sent by Chatham County. Currently it's a local road, but it's serving the I-60 mega site. So eventually it will collect the local traffic and then direct them to I-16, I-95. So we suggest that will be major collector. And then City of Richmond Hill also sent two requests. One is Harris Trail Road project, Harris Trail Road, and another one is Port Royal Road. So those roadways are currently local street, but remember when we talked about 2050 MTP, those two road widenings are actually in the 2045 MTP, and then we decide because our MTP are focused on the collectors and above, so they're basically not eligible for that funds. So we decided, okay, we will upclassify them first. So there will be a lot of development, especially the Hyundai might move to that area, Richmond Hill and Bryan County area. So make them even more, because they already have carry a lot of traffic right now. So there's a lot of congestion already over there. So these are all the requests that we have received. And we actually, GDOT actually sent us this form that we need to fill. So we actually just fill in these forms, where's the like route numbers, number of lanes, how much traffic they carry, and the justification. Basically, mostly we want to do the justification. So like, for example, we want to mention the Benton Boulevard. It carries a lot of traffic. And then there's a lot of development in the polar area. So you have like a Home Depot, Walmart, a Sam's Club, outlets. So you want to mention all of that to justify all that information. Like Sunset Boulevard, you want to mention probably the Savannah State University. I think I will add in the Hyundai, expected growth from Hyundai. I will add that information after this meeting. So this would be the form that we're going to submit to GDOT. There's also supporting documentation that if we do have, we want to submit that to GDOT as well. And these are some of the documentation. So you can see Benton Boulevard, we provide maps, and we also tell which part is Fort Wentworth and which part is Savannah, which part is Pooler. And then we also include the code in the Savannah's code. Benton Boulevard is minor arterial. And then so we also got the support letter from Pooler to upclassify the Benton Boulevard. We also got support letter from Port Wentworth, just to support, upclassify. And then for Highland Boulevard, we also have the City of Savannah's code in that code. The Highland Boulevard is actually, collector. And then for the three roadways, Roland, Shell, and the Sunset Boulevard, we have a map. And then we also have in our thoroughfare plan that MPO developed in 2014, we actually classify those as collectors. And then we also have the code from Thunderbolt that shows the collectors. And then we also have the code from the City of Savannah showing their collectors as well. And then the other one, Pine Meadow Drive, this is the one where we only have one map. We don't actually talk with Deanna, the TCC chairman. So basically we want probably maybe Chatham County, do you want to support, just submit a support letter so that we can include this information? Because this Pine Meadow Drive also connects to Pooler. So if Pooler can provide a support letter as well for this, that will help us to make the case. So eventually when we submit this to GDOT and then the MPO, we'll schedule a meeting with the GDOT Office of Data. And then we will meet with them, make our case. So if you can provide the support letter, that will help us to make the case. So.
Just hold it. Let her finish first. Go ahead. Go ahead and finish.
Okay.
We can come to her, but go ahead.
Okay. And this is the Harris Trail Road. Actually, we also have a map. And then we also have the letter from Richmond Hill to request to upclassify and the reason justifications, like how many housing units they already have over there. And then we also have Bryan County. They have the resolution about those roadways. So those are all included over here. So it's as much supporting documentation as we can get, that would be the best.
Okay. Now, Commissioner Milton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my first question is there criteria already established as to the changing of the categories of roadway? Is there a criteria established to say what becomes what?
Yeah. Actually, Federal Highway Administration does have some kind of standards, but it's not really, sometimes it's subjective. I would say it wouldn't be like rocket science, and you would say you carry 50,000 traffic every day and use a principal arterial. They actually have several different criteria, like spacing of the roadways. Sometimes it's subjective. For example, White Bluff Road is classified as a minor arterial, but it actually carries a lot of traffic than probably like a Polar Parkway. But because it's so close to Abercorn is the principal arterial, and their definition is like these two roadways are so like parallel and so close, so you can only have like one principal arterial. So they do have those some criteria. So it's not very subjective.
Once you submit the form to GDOT, will they give you approval or denial?
Well, we submit all these requests. GDOT can approve them or deny them. So that's why we want to schedule the meeting to go and just talk with them. Sometimes I think, we haven't even accounted for the traffic that we add, for example, Heritage Trail Road. So we have a traffic volume, say 5,000, but we haven't accounted for the anticipated growth with the Hyundai.
So does this change request affect who maintains the road?
No.
No, we want to up-classify these roadways. Yeah, our purpose is to make them at least a collector. So next time, if you want to do a road widening project or make some improvements.
Blow you up. No, don't worry, but that's alert.
Okay. It's not alert. Okay.
No, it don't mean us to evacuate.
Chairman's not alert.
Yeah, that's an alert.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to make sure that we can spend federal dollars on these roadways. But currently, I mean, if City of Savannah wants to widen Benton Boulevard, they just don't have the, they might have set aside some money, but they only have like so much money. So if you spend on Benton Boulevard, you don't have money to spend on the other street. So basically, we want to leverage the federal dollars. So that's why we want to up classify.
And what you need to do too is it's up to us, all right? Like for instance, let's take Benton Boulevard. Since she's talking about Benton Boulevard, you see that letter of support that she's talking about. Mm-hmm. We need to support. Why we need it upgraded, mm-hmm. All right? Why we want to and even in the situation where you've got Abercorn and White Bluff, but if we can update, because see, they don't live here, but if we can show them that the volume of traffic that's traveling mm-hmm. White Bluff parallels the volume of traffic traveling Abercorn, then it's good for upgrade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. So I actually talked with Ashley, who submitted the request on behalf of Thunderbolt,
yeah.
And I said, okay, I can justify Roland Avenue and Sunset Boulevard, but what about the Shell Road? Because it only carries like 900 traffic. And her response is, we can submit our request, let GDOT deny it. So, I mean.
She got a point there.
Yeah, we just try to make our case.
In the hat, they can't draw it out.
Yeah, so we can make our case, at least try to make our case.
And that's what our jurisdiction, we have to, municipalities and the county have to make their case to GDOT. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Johnson. And to just to add to that point, I mean, obviously there's sometimes mitigating circumstances. Shell Road, for example, I mean, if you're testing it during the summer, it's different than when school is in. It's a whole lot more traffic there. So I think those things have to be taken into account. My question to you deals with the functional classification, kind of piggybacking on Commissioner Milton's question as it relates to, is the local road just kind of the default, or all roads automatically go to default and then we have to try to upgrade them, or are they evaluated when they're initially put in?
Okay. The majority of the roadways are local roads. So more than 70% are local roads. So basically the local governments are responsible for maintaining the roadways. So you cannot spend the federal dollars. But we can spend some federal dollars on the local roads for bicycle and pedestrian
right.
improvements. So if you have a bicycle project, or you have a pedestrian project, you can spend federal dollars.
Right.
So that's where the transportation alternatives funds are for, and the Y230, Y301 funds are for. But for like widenings, yeah, but because the federal resources is limited as well. So they just decided, okay.
Default you to local.
Yeah.
Make the case to upgrade them.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
All right. Yes, sir.
This is kind of related to Benton Boulevard and classification, but the, this is for existing roads, but when a new road, comes online, can it get classified immediately based on its kind of criteria, even though it doesn't have any traffic pattern to it yet? And I'm specifically talking about Effingham Parkway.
Yeah. What I learned is previously, they were able to designate functional classification for a roadway that is under construction or is going to be under construction. And then later they decided that no, wait until it's done.
Okay.
Wait until it's done, and when we will see how much traffic it carries. So you have some data to support it. So wait until Effingham Parkway is done, and then we will see how much traffic it carries, and then that will help us make the case. Remember, last December we actually approved a functional classification update for Jimmy DeLoach Parkway, because Jimmy DeLoach at that time was just opened. So they didn't have any data. Now they have data. So GDOT actually sent us a request. You need to up classify this.
Okay.
So Effingham Parkway, let's wait until it's done. So it's not every 10 years we update FC. We can also update between the census based on the actual situation.
All right. Ms. Zara?
They do classify interstates as interstates as they're constructing them, don't they?
Interstates is the highest classification.
Good.
Yeah.
But they couldn't do that with an arterial. They prefer not to.
What do you?
Effingham Parkway.
Effingham Parkway, I think eventually, depending on the traffic, I think it might be a minor arterial. But it wouldn't be reached the because it's not limited access. So,
thank you.
Yeah, it cannot be, expressways.
Okay, Colombo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. The questions that I have are related to, the request Roland Avenue, Shell Road, and Sunset. In reading between the lines, it appears that, Town of Thunderbolt is trying to alleviate east-west congestion,
yes.
Which is certainly there. And I don't blame them for trying to throw anything against the wall to see what will
yes.
stick. My understanding is that although the requesting authority from the Town of Thunderbolt, it would apply to the entire road for each of these, correct?
Yes. Actually, just like a Benton Boulevard crosses three jurisdictions, the Sunset Boulevard, Shell Road, yeah, that crosses both jurisdictions. So in that form, we actually list all the municipalities that the roadways touch. So I do want to mention, when City of Savannah sent in the request for Benton Boulevard, it was only for their segment. So it's like from the north is the border with Port Wentworth to Jimmy DeLoach Parkway. And then when I saw that request, I said, it doesn't make any sense because Benton Boulevard goes all the way. So we might as well just request the whole thing. So why just one segment hanging over there? So but Thunderbolt actually, when they submit the request, they actually cover the whole segments. Yeah, crosses both municipalities.
Well, regarding these three, and they all do operate in parallel with each other, and I know these well. My only concern, if we can do anything to protect ourselves from hitting it big, that I'd be concerned that all three may get classified as a minor collector. They're very close to each other, but operate and behave very differently. My most personal concern are the Atom Smashers that do utilize Sunset Boulevard for biking and walking and being able to get to school. So I want to make sure that whatever we do, it doesn't pan out that both Shell and Sunset and Roland suddenly become minor collectors and become very heavy car traffic, that at least one of them is preserved as an east-west right-of-way that prioritizes pedestrian and cycling traffic.
And see what Thunderbolt needs to do, though, is Thunderbolt needs to add that in there.
Yeah.
Because they don't know to add it in.
Okay.
There.
Okay. I mean, thank you for the comment. I can add that information into right. the justification part of it, just to say that, like, Sunset Boulevard is reserved as a, like, east-west bike route or something. Yeah. Yeah. We will add that information in there.
That's yeah. Funny. Yeah. Thank you.
Plus what you can do with all three of them too is you can connect it to, Wiley Drive that goes to Savannah State.
Yeah.
See, and that even gives it even more leverage up. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, let me say this to all of you, and I hope you get it. Folks who are making the decision don't live here. They're just looking at on a map. You know, they Google it. Like my grandson, Google it, grandpa. So they Google it and they see, but they don't actually know the area. So when we write letters of support, we have to make the case that this is the case. All right. Kids ride Roland Avenue, kids ride Sunset Boulevard, they ride Shell Road, their bikes going to school, or pedestrian walks need to be in there. So that upgrades it, move up from maybe the minor to the major. All right.
Yeah, I will make sure that I add your comments today because that will help us to make the case. Because I can write all of this up, but I don't live there, so I'm not very familiar with the roadway over there myself. Right. But you know that area, you have more information that will help me to make the justification to GDOT as well.
Yeah,
so.
And although Shell may be the smallest of the three, it's one of the few that goes through Whatley to the town of Thunderbolt.
Right.
Sunset terminates at Whatley. That's there. Please do check out. You'll see the desire paths that are around it as the kids let out. It's a beehive of activity. It's encouraging to see an improvement in this area because there is a need for one. And Victor Drive is, very speedy and heavy traffic. So I see what they're angling at and what they're trying to alleviate, support that. But thank you for the opportunity.
Okay.
And see, that's one of those cases where you can tie it to town. And that helps, that gives it more boost.
We can add all those justification in because I'm still going to finalize all those like justification
right.
word. And then also if Pooler, and Chatham County can provide a support letter for the Pine Meadow Drive, we want to include everything, to boost our case.
Right.
Okay. So for this board, we would request that you approve our request.
Let's finish with the questions first.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get there, any more questions from anyone? All right. My question. All right. When we're talking about local roads that we are trying to get federal monies from, all right, I look at the west side and this is a situation where there are either four or five municipalities tied up in it. And what I'm talking about is Quaco Road, which turns to Pula Parkway, which turns mm-hmm. to Airway Avenue, which turns to Gulfstream Road, which turns to Crossgate Road,
mm-hmm.
right? And it runs through Port Wentworth, it runs through Garden City, not Garden City, runs on the side of Garden City. It runs through Savannah, okay, by Airway, and then it runs through Pula, right? Do we have to wait until, those developments that's in that area on Little Neck Road, John Carter Road, Pula Parkway, Quaco Road. Do we have to wait until the expansion is done there?
Those roadways are already functionally classified at least as collector and above.
Right.
So it's just, you want to up-classify as, say, minor arterial or major arterial something, but we don't have the data to support it right now. So you might have, like, approved some subdivisions along, like, a Quaco Road or along Little Neck Road, but right now you don't have that much traffic. So it's hard to make the case. Since they're already on the functional classification system, so they're already eligible federal dollars. We're okay with them right now. But when we do have those numbers, like you boosted your traffic counts to like 10,000 or something, and we can make the argument that we want to up classify it from a collector to minor arterial or major arterial.
But my question is this, man. Permits have already been given out for subdivisions. There are nine, I think, different subdivision that's going to pop up where I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Between those three roads that I'm talking about, Bloomingdale has given out permits for development, Pula, City of Savannah, Chatham County, Port Wentworth. All right. So it's being developed and it has, like, for instance, I'm going to just pick the lowest one. One has a subdivision that's going to come up that's going to have 240 houses, apartments in it. Okay. Is that, do we have to wait until those things are built and there, knowing that we have, in our plan and as a part of GDOT's, coastal regional plan, they're all in there and they're taking into consideration those developments that's going to come. So you're talking about, if we took Little Neck Road, there's development that come over there, we may have 9,000 houses.
Yeah. So
apartment
so,
complex mixed together.
Yeah. So are you talking about the impacts on the existing roadways or
yeah.
new roadways?
No. The impact on the, here's what the impact is. The impact on the existing road was the road was built for a pickup truck and a tractor. That's it. All right. But now that you have those developments that have come in there, we have to widen. And when I say we, I'm talking about all the municipalities involved and the county. We have to widen so that the plans are on the book now that we're going to full lane, right? But our situation is in all three situations, we're going to cross 16, we're going to cross 95. In fact, we crossed 95 maybe twice in some cases, all right? So my question is, do we have to wait till all the development had? Do we have to wait until the county and the municipalities four lane make the road wider?
I don't think we have to wait.
We don't have to wait.
Yeah, I don't think we have to wait. Yeah. So if you already expect like say 9,000 housing units along Little Neck Road,
yeah.
So you probably want to like go ahead and request to upclassify the Little Neck Road from like if it's a collector to a mine interior or something. But it's up to GDOT to whether to approve it or not.
Okay.
Because we don't have we know that the developments are coming, but we don't have the data to go with it. So my suggestion is probably just let's wait a couple of years when we do have the data, and then that will help us to make the case. But right now they're already in the system, in the FC system. So they're already eligible for federal dollars. So we're okay with that, but let's wait until we have some data. But we can start to submit requests.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think ahead of time. Yes, we can.
I think that's one of those situations that we're talking about where those municipalities along that, because see that road runs, those roads run all the way from the river all the way to the south side.
Yeah.
They change names. They change jurisdiction, but it's the same road. We know that. So therefore we have to put that in the report so that GDOT can understand how they are connected so that when we send letters of support, it needs to come from Bloomingdale. It needs to come from Pula. It needs to come from Port Wentworth. It needs to come from the city of Savannah.
Yeah, we need support
county.
Letters from all these jurisdictions.
That's my point for making this.
Yes.
All of us need to put in letters of support.
Yes.
All right. So we need to start asking for that now because isn't this thing due in December?
Well, I when I talked with GDOT, say when this is due for mm-hmm. FC update, they didn't give me a deadline.
Okay.
But I did talk to federal highway people because I attended the national conference. I was sitting right next to that guy. I said, do you have a schedule for the FC update? And he said October 2025 is the deadline.
Okay.
That's why we want to submit it because I mean October 2025 that's FHWA approval. So before that we have to like submit it to GDOT and go through all the process.
And I just want to say to all of us that's in the core MPO, listen now, we're competing against the whole country for those federal dollars. The quicker we get this stuff in and get it in, all right, the better our chances are. All right. Cause you know, some people get to the point where they're tired of reading. Right. And so I've begun this far. So I'm going to just do these. See, and you got to know that that's what's happening. So that's my point for saying what I'm saying.
Yeah. But it doesn't exclude us from
right.
sending another request in 2 years. Like if we already have some.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the earlier we get it in, the better off.
Yeah.
All right. Cause you know, when they start pushing that money out, you don't want to be on the tail end because you get the change. You don't get the dollars. You get the stuff that make noise. Okay. All right. That's my point. All right. So now from here, we're going to.
Yeah. Just authorize the staff to submit the request to GDOT and work with GDOT on the follow-up steps. So we can submit the whole package to GDOT.
All right. May I have a motion to such effect?
Mr. Chairman, so moved. Palumbo.
Second. Second.
Properly motion and second that the request of the staff be given an authority to go ahead and submit this to GDOT. Are you ready for the question? Cast your vote, please, starting to my left.
West, yes.
Proctor, yes.
Williams, yes.
Milton, yes.
Melder, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Johnson, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Walker, yes.
Callanan, yes.
Means, yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move right along.
Okay, let's move on to the federal certification review. I will be very, very quick. As we mentioned before, the Corn PO is a larger MPO. So we have a population of more than 200,000. So we are transportation management area. As a result, we get certified by the Federal Highway Administration and Federal Transit Administration every 4 years. So before we receive, Corn PO, city, county, CAT, before we receive any federal dollars for transportation investments, we have to be certified. So there are two major requirements. One is the Corn PO has to be certified. Another one is we have adopted long-range transportation plan. So this is this certification review is very, very important to the Corn PO. Basically, Federal Highway and the Federal Transit people, they will come over here, evaluate our planning process to see, okay, how well are you doing or how bad are you doing? And we already we think that we made some achievements. So we established like bicycle and pedestrian advisory committee. Not all the MPOs have that. And so we can count that as achievements. So they might have that as a, like a strength. And they also might give us some recommendations. So basically they come over here, evaluate our process. And then tell us what are our strengths and what are weaknesses and what are recommendations, what are the recommendations they have for us. Hopefully, we will not get corrective actions. So we think that we have already satisfied all the federal requirements. So there are two opportunities for you, for the Corn PO board members and the advisory committee members to participate in the process. And one is on day one, which is next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, and in this very room, between 5 and 7, we have a public meeting. They actually have so FHWA and FTA team want to talk to you about the MPO's planning process. So you can come to that meeting and tell them and how you feel about this planning process. Is it collaborative? Is it resolving problems? Anything like that. And there's another opportunity on day 2, which is on Wednesday, next Wednesday. And it's between 10:30 and 11:30. It's also in this room. So by that time, the MPO staff will go outside of the room so you can talk. Be open. Talk to the FHWA and FTA team about this planning process. And are you satisfied with it? Are you not satisfied with it? And if you're not satisfied, tell them why. Just to be open and be honest. So you will have these two opportunities to participate in this certification review process. So if you want to put this on your calendar, and you can just come to either next Tuesday evening or next Wednesday morning and to the MPO's office. So they would like to talk to you about the MPO's planning process.
Would you send this to Gail so she can put it on my schedule?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I will.
Because I don't know.
It's already sent out, but we'll send out a reminder.
Yeah.
It was already sent out, but we will send out a reminder.
Yeah. Let her know, because I don't know when to get on my schedule or not, but Gail does. All right. And any other board member now need for them to send you a reminder or send it to your clerk or your administrative assistant so that they can put it on your schedule? Put it on your calendar? Okay. All right.
Thank you. And then I will go very quickly for the next one. Remember, at the last meeting, we requested the MPO board to authorize us to send applications, funding applications for three studies. So one of those is US 80 corridor study phase two in FM County. Another one is urban flooding model phase two. And then the last one is bicycle and pedestrian facility study. I'm just very glad to tell you that the Georgia PA Funds Review Committee actually awarded all three. So we will start the RFP process. We are still waiting for the official award letters from GDOT, because they also have to assign a PI number. But we want to start the RFP process. So we already have some draft language sitting here, and we are also soliciting volunteers to review the RFP and refine the scope and finalize the scope before we release the RFP. For the US 80 corridor study, actually, Effingham County has already developed some kind of language. So we already include that language in here in the draft scope. The one thing that I added is because based on the previous US 80 corridor study, they have recommendations, but they didn't have a cost estimates for each recommendation. So I definitely want cost estimates for each recommendation. So I added that language over here. And we talked with the TCC member from Effingham County who participated. So Effingham County probably will have two people to work on this with us. And then Leon, who used to manage the US 80 corridor study, he also volunteered. And then Kayla Brown from the BPAC chairman, she wants to make sure that the bike path is included in this study as well. She wants to be involved as well. So I now at least got four people for this one. And then for the urban flooding phase two model, we already talked about this. So we are going to do the urban flooding model. We want to develop the models outside the previous boundary. So basically we expanded to South Effingham County and a little bit more into Richmond Hill and Bryan County. So we want to develop the models. This is phase two. We'll cover that, but also the phase one models, we already have those, but we don't know how to use those. So even the staff members, and then we already talked about, like, so in this phase two, we want the consultant to develop some training modules for all of us so that we know how to use the model. So Anna is working with the resource committee who did the resiliency planning for the 25th MTP. So she's reaching out to them to see who's going to serve on this committee to review the RFP, the scopes, and also when we do issue the RFP, when we receive the proposals, who's going to be on the review team. So far I got that the Faye DeMassimo is willing to serve. I think Anna probably got more people who's willing to serve on this committee for this one. And then for the last one, the bicycle and pedestrian facility study, we also have the draft RFP, and we already showed the BPAC, who will be the major committee who oversee the study development, and Asia is soliciting volunteers from that committee and also from the TCC and the TPAC. We decided that because TPAC, they address accessible transportation, so we want to make sure that's included in the scope. And we also want to, besides the doing the inventory, we also want the consultant to help us to identify, City of Savannah has a SS4A grant. Chatham County has an SS4A grant. Effingham County has an SS4A grant. And the CAD has already finished the bus stop inventory program. So all of those already have some data in them. So we don't want to waste the energy on collecting the data in those areas, but we want to see what we have. But by the end, we want to have a database. So we want to have region-wide database in the GIS format. We do the inventory, and also you already mentioned there will be a lot of new developments. So how do we track the new developments? There's got to be a mechanism to track the new developments. If they build like sidewalks over there, we want to add that information in as well. So this is the purpose of this study, and it will help us to probably amend our non-motorized transportation plan as well. So we want to have some regional coordination as well. So we do need people, actually, I think probably Effingham County and Bryan County to help us on this as well, because we might have more data for within the city of Savannah, but we don't have as much information on outside counties. So we will soliciting volunteers from those jurisdictions. And I think if any of you are interested in this, please let us know as well. I know Mr. Plumbo is very interested in bike path. So if you want to be a part of this process, we already have the draft scope in here. Take a look at it and see something's missing. Let us know so we can finalize the information.
Okay. He said he ready to party.
Okay.
He'll volunteer to be in the group.
Okay.
The committee. He ready to party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. The last one, the Teresa will be giving the presentation on this one.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad to be here and able to update y'all this morning on what we've been doing. My name is Teresa Scott. I work with Atlas Technical Consultants, and I serve as a deputy PM, and we are contracted by Chatham County to perform a study at the railroad crossing just west of Truman Parkway on East President Street. We've got a lot of work that we have done, and I'm going to briefly discuss it because I only have limited time this morning. All right, how do we do this, Wakota? There we go. So I want to start with talking about our project goals, and really what we wanted to do was understand the traffic patterns and the rail movement at that intersection. We did complete an existing conditions report that was finalized, and it is on the project website. If you care to read that in your spare time, there's some good information there. We also want to promote public involvement because you are the ones here. You are the ones impacted. You know what the local challenges are and the issues. We collect the numbers, but numbers don't always tell the whole story. We are in the process of developing a short-term operational improvement alternative and also some long-term alternatives to help alleviate the problem there at the crossing. And we will select a preferred alternative once our analysis and evaluation is done. We will also, at the end, the ultimate goal is to produce a final report and give a selected alternative along with a cost report and the supporting information that the county needs. So if you'll notice on the screen, I'm starting with this study area because the gray dotted line does indicate the area that we started looking at first, because this area is directly impacted by that crossing. And we did, collected all of the traffic information. We had people come down and actually observe what was going on in this area. Of course, we wound up, when all of that was collected and observed, we wound up shrinking this study area down to President Street from General McIntosh Boulevard. Do you need something? I'm sorry.
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
That's good.
Back the way you had it before. There you go.
That's better. That's it.
Thank you. So we shrunk our study area after looking at all of the area around President Street. We shrunk it to East President Street from General McIntosh Boulevard eastward toward Pennsylvania Avenue. Stakeholder public and public engagement, like I said, that is an extremely important component of this study. Since you all live here, you work here, you deal with this intersection, so we want all of the information we can get. We do have a project website that is housed on the county Chatham County website, and you can also access that web, that project website through Core MPO. The links are at the bottom of this slide, and it will take you to the county website where all of the latest information is available. Public meetings, we have had stakeholder meetings. We've also had some community meetings, and I have to say the community meetings were really good and well attended. We had some really good recommendations from people that live around the area and that travel that way, and they had some really good input on what we presented them, which you'll be seeing that in a minute as well. But it's been valuable for us to take some of those recommendations and comments into consideration as we evaluate these alternatives. We'll also be having a final public information meeting once we've selected an alternative after the first of 2025. We will go to a public information meeting in person, and we will be able to take comments on the selected alternative before we finalize our report. So I'm going to step you through some concept alternatives that we are considering at this moment, and I'll also walk you through a couple that we are not considering anymore and kind of talk about that a little bit. So the first alternative that we are still evaluating is a short-term alternative. Now, keep in mind, this is not a fix. This is not a permanent fix. This is something that can be implemented by the county if they so choose, if they are not ready to program and fund a larger project. So if you will look at the drawing, you will notice that we are adding an extra lane on the north side of President Street. The hope is that it will take the people that are traveling, or the traffic that's traveling westbound on President Street that want to get onto Truman, they can use that far outside lane to keep moving and hopefully not get stopped when the crossing is blocked. And what we're thinking is that will dissipate traffic a whole lot quicker, because a lot of what is backing up in the crossing is people that are wanting to get to Truman Parkway. So if we allow them to get there, that will help clear the traffic out after the blockages. And you can see on here, this, I believe this presentation is included in your package as well. So if y'all want to read through these things later, feel free, but there are some benefits and description of what we're doing or proposing. Alternative two is a bridge with Truman Parkway, and it's an elevated green T intersection. Notice what you're looking at with the blue indicates bridge structure. So the majority of this project is on bridge structure. So it will begin on the west side of Truman Parkway, and it will elevate up to where Truman Parkway Bridge is now to make an intersection, and then it will come back down on the east side of Truman Parkway. We will eliminate those two loop ramps because you won't need them. It does eliminate the crossing at the railroad, and it eliminates one signal. If you'll notice, too, on the north side, there are some through lanes that never stop. So the traffic coming from the islands or that end of the county coming to Savannah won't have to stop. It's just a continuous flow. And then alternative three is another bridge structure we're looking at, but notice it is a little bit different. It's not quite as much bridge structure, but the blue still indicates bridge structure that will be constructed. So the bridge, we will bridge over the canal and the railroad, eliminating that crossing again. We do have room to come back down to grade before we go under Truman Parkway. We will eliminate that one existing loop ramp and build another bridge on this. You'll notice the blue on this other loop ramp. So that eliminates not only the crossing, but one signal, and it gives you one intersection to enter and come out of Truman Parkway. On this option, the southbound lanes, the lanes on the south side of President Street heading east are continuous flow. So just to kind of touch on some alternates that we aren't considering anymore, and the only reason we are not considering them is because they just weren't feasible either by cost or constructability. And some of these, meaning cost, could be environmental permitting as well. these are three roadway options that we looked at, and they're just not feasible for the goals of this project. They don't meet the goals of the study. We also looked at just rail alternatives, just maybe change the rail instead of actually doing anything with the roadway. Alternative 7, you'll see right here, is actually realigning the track, so you eliminate the crossing on President Street. But what this does is introduce 7 new crossings on side streets. So not really feasible when you're trying to eliminate a crossing. This alternative is also reconfiguring some track. It just adds a little bit of track to that north yard, but it's just not really feasible because it does not eliminate the crossing. It doesn't address that problem, and it's not going to eliminate the switching. And not to mention we have, you know, not to leave out that we have coordinated with the railroads as well, and these are not feasible options for them either. This last alternative, while it does have some merit, and the railroads do agree that it has some merit, this would be to construct a new yard on the south side of President Street and construct some rail for storage and classification. Problem with this one is it still does not eliminate the crossing, if that is our ultimate goal, and we still the crossing will still be blocked by switching, and we just don't know how much that will still be affected. But again, you're still going to deal with some rail movement. This slide shows an alternative matrix that we used in helping to coordinate our or organize our thoughts and figure out which alternative actually meets the goals of the study and what does not. So you can tell here, the red mark, of course, is a negative impact. The check is a positive impact. And then neutral means it's just not affecting it. It's not affecting the roadway or the blockages either way. Also, this next slide, I just wanted to put this in as well so you can see kind of our thought process and how we approached these metrics. Now, these aren't all the metrics. There's so many you can choose from, but these are the ones that our team decided really met the goals of the project. And the questions behind it is what we were looking at when we looked at each metric. These metrics aren't, they're very broad, so they're not really detailed. There are many aspects included in these. One example would be environmental, because not only are we talking about wetlands, but we're also talking about permitting, costs of permitting, and emissions. This is just a look at our project schedule. We are supposed to wrap up the end of February, which we will do. You can notice the public information meeting is there after the first of the year. We are finalizing our future conditions report now, and we are in the middle of evaluating all of the alternatives to select a preferred alternative. Our next steps, I've mentioned this a couple of times probably, but is to finalize our future conditions report so Chatham County can take a look at that and approve that, finalize the evaluation of all the conceptual alternatives, conduct a public information meeting, select our preferred alternative, and then submit the final study, which again includes all the documentation and supporting information that Chatham County will need to program a project or put together a concept report and an estimate. Here are key contact information. If you want to get in touch with Chatham County, Deanna, y'all all know Deanna. She is the project manager for the county on this project. I'm on this list. Our PM, Ellen Manchi, is, and then Denise Grabowski, which I think all y'all know Denise as well. She is leading all of our public involvement efforts. So if there's anything any of us can do for you, answer any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. All right. If you have questions, I will do my best to answer them. Also, just as a point of reference, your package does include more slides. I just don't have time to go through them all, but it does include some existing and future traffic information if you choose to look at that.
Questions? Any board member? Any? Cool.
Mr. Chairman, well, thank you so much for the presentation and delivering the options and alternatives. The question is, what's next? In evaluating each one, my spidey senses tell me that some are more expensive than others. Mm-hmm. Some are more productive than others, and I'm attracted to some that are better but might be more expensive. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about what's next and the road ahead.
Okay. So we are the three alternatives that I did mention that are still under consideration. That's the short-term and two long-term options. We are still evaluating to see how traffic will react if we build it. Also cost is a big, you know, it's a big motivator right now as to which alternative do you want to select? One may be very expensive, but it may operate better. So that is what we're in the middle of, is finalizing our future traffic projections to figure out how does this fit into the alternatives. And we are going, the alternative we select is going to be what we see, constructability, feasibility, cost, all of that taken into consideration will result in our preferred alternative. So what we will do, because this is only a study, so what we will do is present all of that information to Chatham County, and they will decide whether to move forward with any of the projects that we get them.
Right. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
Wacota, you want to come? Where, Wacota? Want to come and clear it? Good, we had GDOT's project status update. Are they on the line?
I'm right here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I beg your pardon.
Okay, so for pre-construction, we have 19-219, and the next milestone is
pull that mic towards you so you can.
Is the design and analysis? 15-151 is the safety improvements project on State Route 204 from 21 to Rio Road, and the next milestone is PFPR. It's anticipated early next year. 15-675 is the safety improvements project on I-16 at Chatham Parkway. The next milestone is still let, waiting on the adjacent bridge stacking. 15-704 and 705 is the bridge replacement and the widening on State Route 404 over Back River. And we're currently about to hold the PIOH here at the NPC, and it'll be November the 14th from 4 to 7. And 17-414 is the bridge replacement over Bull River. The next milestone is PFPR, and 17-415 is the bridge replacement over Lazaretta Creek, also waiting on PFPR. And 18023 is the roundabout at on State Route 30 at Hodgeville Road, and the next milestone is also PFPR. Then for construction projects, these projects are all progressing. And is there any questions?
Questions? Anyone? All right. Thank you, ma'am. Chatham County.
Morning. So I'm just going to touch on a few updates for our community meetings on some upcoming projects. For the State Route 204 access study, we have a public information open house on October 29th at the Coastal Botanical Gardens, and that's where we're looking at that crossing for the Pine Grove community on State Route 204. We also have an additional community meeting for the President Street at Truman Railroad Crossing Elimination Study that we just went over. That's going to be on October 30th at A.B. Williams Elementary. So if you have any folks who have interest in that. And then the last community meeting I just want to touch on will be in December. It's going to be for Green Island Road Path. That's on Skidaway Island. And so that one, like I said, December 5th. Are there any questions about any of the county projects?
Question? All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. City of Savannah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Joseph Shearhouse with the City of Savannah. First project update is Project Duren. As the board knows, Project Duren is a major project connecting I-16 to the Truman Parkway on an east-west arterial corridor that connects regional traffic to a lot of regional assets. We are still working with FHWA and GDOT for the additional public engagement plan, the PIP, that needs to take place. In order for the city to move forward in that PIP plan, we have to get FHWA and GDOT to agree to the revisions to that plan. GDOT has revised the plan and FHWA has provided comment. After GDOT incorporates FHWA's comments, we will proceed with the PIP plan. Next project is DeLesseps Avenue, which is a project that includes incorporating the City of Savannah's Complete Streets Ordinance, which adds sidewalks, bike lanes, improved drainage, and curb and gutter to an east-west corridor. DeLesseps Avenue is 45% complete, and we'll see final roadway paving from Waters Avenue to Cuba Street by Thanksgiving of this year. Estimated completion of DeLesseps Avenue is July of 2025. Truman Trail Phase 2B. Truman Trail was awarded a construction contract to JHC Corporation on February 8th of 2024, and the pre-construction meetings were completed in August, and construction on Truman Trail Phase 2B began in September. Right-of-way clearing is underway. Middle Ground Road, Savannah City Council approved the design contract in the amount of $929,000 with Kimberly Horn at the September 26th City Council meeting. This contract includes design, database preparation, and a portion of the environmental related to this project. Finally, the I-16 ramp removal project. Georgia Department of Transportation has executed a contract to update the IMR and concept report for the removal of the I-16 ramp study. So we look forward to continue to partner with them on that project. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, any questions? Thank you. The airport.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm. The airport has four current active construction projects. The security checkpoint expansion is shaping up to be complete here by the end of the year. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be switching over the TSA equipment to get the security lanes in operation. The fuel storage facility expansion project, we're upgrading our existing capacity to 120,000 gallons of jet fuel. That project is about 50-60% complete. It's scheduled to be substantially complete in April of 2025. Our construction on our auxiliary parking is a two-phase project. We're looking to get our larger spot, which is about 600 parking spots available for Thanksgiving, and then our smaller lot available for parking before Christmas. And overall completion is scheduled for June of 2025. And then our air cargo facility, we're building two large air cargo sorting facilities on the north side of Gulfstream Road. That project just started in July. The contractor is just getting started with site work, and we're looking to have that project substantially complete in March of 2026. And then one that's not on here, last week we had our pre-construction meeting for our terminal concourse expansion project. We're going to be expanding our terminal concourse expansion by four gates from 15 to 19 gates.
All right, any questions? All right, thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Mary. Chatham Area Transit, a quick update on the ferry boat maintenance facility. We recently received the building permit for that as well. So we will be going for the IFB in November for the maintenance facility. For For the new ferry dock at Plant Riverside, we just approved to reissue the RFP for that at yesterday's board meeting, so that should be on the streets in a few weeks. For the paratransit maintenance facility, we have finalized our community outreach. There was some delay due to the hurricane that has been completed, and now we are beginning our traffic study on our highest performing site, which is the site on Interchange Drive. The next step on that will be the site selection process. I'm also happy to announce we received two federal awards from the FTA for discretionary funding. The first is the FY24 low NOFO emissions grant, so that will allow us to purchase six battery electric buses to enhance our zero emission fleet. And then we were also awarded the electric marine charging stations, and that is to charge the hybrid ferries that are coming at the end of this year. And we just executed the award on that. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
We have someone on the line, or we have somebody here from talking on. Nobody here to give it? All right, let's move on. Are there any other? We don't have any public comments, do we?
No, sir.
All right. About the conference?
Hi, Anna McCory here, Core MPO staff. YCODOing attended the AMPO conference in Salt Lake City, along with Melanie Wilson, our executive director and CEO. And the presentation files here are linked for you. So if you're interested on any of the specific topics, you can see the different breakout sessions and follow up there. You can also follow up with Melanie or YCODA for more information.
Questions there? Hearing none. Our next Core MPO board meeting will be December 18, 2024 at 10 a.m. Have a motion to adjourn.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Probably motion and second. Let's start voting to our right.
Means yes.
County and yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Johnson,
yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Melder, yes.
Milton, yes.
Williams, yes.
Proctor, yes.
West, yes.
All right, so adjourned.